From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. There are troubling new details today about the career of the Army psychiatrist accused in last week's shootings at Fort Hood. NPR has learned that there was a series of worried meetings and conversations about Nidal Hassan starting in 2007. Top officials from Walter Reed Army Medical Center took part. So did supervisors from his government fellowship program. The topic of those conversations, what should we do about Nidal Hassan? And could he do harm? NPR's Daniel Zwerdling has been talking with psychiatrists and officials at Walter Reed and the fellowship program, officials who worked with Hassan or monitored committees that oversaw his work. They all refused to be identified because there's an ongoing criminal investigation. Danny, what have these sources told you?
Melissa, picture this. More than a year and a half before Hassan allegedly went on that rampage at Fort Hood, the officials who supervised him sat around wondering, could Nidal Hassan be psychotic? One of his key supervisors at Walter Reed reportedly told his colleagues, I'm worried that if Hassan deploys to Iraq or Afghanistan, he might leak secret military information to Islamic extremists. And another one of Hassan's supervisors reportedly wondered aloud to colleagues, I wonder if Hassan might be capable of committing fratricide.
In other words, could he actually kill fellow soldiers?
Yes, exactly.
And why didn't officials do something then if these were the concerns?
Well, my interview suggests there was a whole chain of basically unrelated events and factors that deterred them from taking action.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that chain of events and factors in a minute. But first, let's talk about this. A timeline, really. When exactly did officials really start crystallizing their worries about Nidal Hassan?
It really started coming to a head in March of 2007. Back then, a new psychiatrist took over as the big boss of the psychiatric residency at Walter Reed. His name is Major Scott Moran. By the way, like all the others, Moran told me, no way, he can't talk. But Moran's colleagues told me that he reviewed all the staff's personnel files, as any new boss does, right? And he was shocked by what he read about Hassan. I mean, supervisors had been reprimanding Hassan for years for doing a bad job. And Moran said to his colleagues, I want to get rid of the guy.
And as we now know, that didn't happen. Hassan was not removed. Why not?
The way my sources tell the story, Moran went to two key committees that have to approve it when you want to expel a resident. And those committees said, forget it. There's a very long and cumbersome process for getting rid of a doctor, of a resident. Hassan could have hired a lawyer. There'd be hearings. The case might drag on and on and on. So officials told Moran, I'm told, look, Hassan is about to leave Walter Reed anyway on a fellowship. Let's hope for the best and see how he does there.
Which brings us to, the fall of 2007. Nidal Hassan goes on to get a master's in public health.
Right. He went to a government school called USIS. That's the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences. And right away, the professors and supervisors there were upset with Hassan. We obtained documents from USIS. And they show that supervisors and professors said his main research project was terrible. They gave him a lousy evaluation. And at this point, Melissa, they became really troubled about his state of mind. When I ask people to describe Hassan, they keep using the same words. It's interesting. Disconnected, aloof, a loner, belligerent, and sometimes super polite. Well, then in January 2008, Hassan turned in a paper that really got people worried because they thought it was basically a disjointed religious diatribe, and some key officials sat around wondering, could he be descending into psychosis?
At any point in these discussions, did Nidal Hassan's supervisor say, you need a mental health evaluation, you need psychotherapy?
Amazingly, I've asked, and my sources say, no.
Danny, we're talking about a guy here who's going to be treating troops coming back from the war with serious mental health problems. He actually had at the time already been treating some of those soldiers. Gotcha. His supervisors, as you're describing it, are worrying that he might be psychotic. Still, as you've said, nobody took action.
I know. It's puzzling. First of all, there's that long and complicated process I mentioned about, trying to kick out a doctor. Okay. Plus, all those media reports about Hassan felt some soldiers harassed him for being Muslim, right? Well, it turns out that some of his supervisors and instructors did the opposite. They told colleagues that they repeatedly bent over backward to support and encourage him despite all his problems because, number one, they didn't have firm evidence that he was unstable. Number two, they kept searching their own souls. Instructors wondered, what if we're discriminating against this guy because we're uncomfortable with his religious views? Oh, and one more thing, Melissa. These officials tell colleagues that they did not know anything about those emails that Hassan was reportedly sending to an alleged Islamic extremist overseas. Intelligence agencies say they told some people at Walter Reed, but these officials claim they did not hear it.
And ultimately, the military transfers Nidal Hassan to work as a psychiatrist at Fort Hood in Texas.
And guess what? They agreed that Hassan should go someplace where he couldn't really hurt anything. So they sent him to Fort Hood. Why Fort Hood? Well, it turns out that Fort Hood has more psychiatrists and mental health specialists than most Army bases, or at least than many. And the officials figured there'd be plenty of co-workers who could support Hassan and monitor him. Listen to this. One official I spoke with yesterday said, "We all hoped Hassan would sort of disappear at Fort Hood."
NPR's Daniel Zwerdling, thank you very much.
Thank you.